This is the Rick Edelman Show.
As we reflect on the first half of 2021, it's really hard to find anything but positive news on the financial fronts. The economy is continuing to show signs of a strong recovery from the pandemic, and the stock market's reached record level highs. You've probably been seeing double-digit annual returns on your statements, and your investments seem to just keep going up and up and up and up. Well, there may be a dip every now and again, but an almost immediate recovery follows. And if you're getting back out there in shops and restaurants and airports, you're seeing more people out spending money. They're shopping, they're going out to eat, they're traveling, and, you know, for the most part, enjoying their ability to move around freely again. Maybe with more masks now than a couple months ago. But does it just seem too good to be true? It's certainly better than your average year, your average market returns. So instead of just taking it all for granted, because of course, you know, we always expect good returns, don't we? That's why we invest. We never want to focus on down markets. But you should be thinking about a couple of key areas, like how long will a strong economy last? And what about inflation? Will the stock market stay strong? And obviously, nobody knows what the future holds, but our team of investment managers and financial planning professionals have put together an overview of what's happening now, what you might expect in the near future, what it all could mean for you. And I'm going to try to tackle some of this on today's show. The U.S. economy is continuing its strong recovery due to, for the most part, progress that we've made in fighting COVID-19. And of course, trillions of dollars of government stimulus. The economy is doing so well, in fact, that economists are predicting more than 6.5% annual GDP growth this year, which is the fastest pace on record since 1984. Corporate earnings have also moved higher. And in January, analysts had estimated that the S&P 500 earnings would grow 22% in 2021. But now that estimate's increased to 36% as actual results have started to come in. And the S&P has closed at new all-time highs more than 35 times so far this year. Market volatility on average is back to pre-pandemic lows, but over the last few weeks, we have seen some very short-term volatility, you know, way down one day, way up the next day. I mean, one day a couple weeks ago, the Dow was down almost 725 points, which was a 2% drop. And that recent sell-off came as news of the COVID variants was terrifying investors that we were all of a sudden at risk of starting up again some of the same issues we had early on in the pandemic, like supply chain failures, lockdowns, closures, and all of that. Airline, oil and gas, cruise lines, hotels, shopping malls, well, those were some of the worst performers that day, just like they had been back in February and March of 2020. But grocery stores, pharmaceuticals, technology, you know, personal hygiene, those types of stocks were good performers. It was the same type of companies that had done well during last year's panic selling too. And overall, that day's sell-off really looked a lot like what happened or was happening regularly in early 2020. And can you guess what were the biggest gainers on the day of that big drop? Well, Regeneron, Clorox, Kroger, yeah. All the same stuff investors were buying up last year during that initial panic. And then the very next day, well, the markets reversed course and many of the previous day's winners went down and a lot of the losers went up. It was like deja vu all over again, back to March and April of 2020. But this time, the rally was because investors saw another round of stellar earnings coming out of American companies. Of the roughly 110 companies in the S&P that had posted results for the second quarter, 85% topped analysts' profit forecasts. And of course, you've heard that the Dow Jones passed 35,000 a week or two ago for the first time ever, and it was the fastest ever 5,000-point gain. It only took 165 trading days to go from 30,000 to 35,000. And the way we saw these markets respond to the fear that a new COVID variant's going to pull us back into the 2020 era economy, well, you might look at that and say, see, history does repeat itself. And you hear us on this show all the time say, past performance is not an indicator of future results. And then you see history actually repeating itself last week with the sell-off and the recovery that looked a lot like the spring of 2020. So you might be forgiven if you momentarily forgot that the past really never repeats itself exactly. And it's hard to mentally separate out successful investing over the long term with other long-term things in our lives. Because in general, in our society, if something's a good product or if somebody's good at something, that product or skill persists. And price is generally seen as a sign of something being good quality. The more expensive a car is, the better it will run, right? We're used to things in our lives being predictable and following similar patterns. And there is some truth to that in the markets. Stocks whose earnings and prices have recently been rising do tend to keep winning in the very short term. And those that have lately been losers can keep losing. But the stock market is a complex and dynamic system that doesn't follow the rules, as same rules as cars or athletes over the long term. In investing, history rarely repeats itself for long, and it's precisely because of the dynamic price of the stock investment. If the price is low enough for people to consider it good enough to buy, and then it keeps doing well, well, more and more people jump on the bandwagon, driving the price up further. I mean, there are, after all, so many shares available. So the price keeps getting driven up until now it's expensive, and then people start selling. Or maybe the company just can't continue to perform at the same level it had before, and that's bringing the price back down, generating losses for those investors who bought it when it was high. But people still want to believe that the past will predict the future. An example of this was looked at in a recent analysis of 10 years of investor surveys, and it showed that when the market's up, people believe it will continue to rise. The analysis looked at the direct correlation between what people expected the market to do in the future based on what it had done in the past. And a percentage increase in the previous month's S&P 500 returns resulted in the same increase in the percentage of investors who felt the market would rise in the coming 6 months. So in other words, if the market's up by 5% for the previous month, 5% more people felt the market would continue to rise over the next 6 months. Meaning, they directly correlated the past month's performance with expectations of future performance. Investors seem to believe that the recent past can predict the future no matter how many times they're told otherwise. And interestingly, and along the same lines, perhaps there's something about the language that's used around investing that perpetuates this myth. Behavioral scientists tested some different disclaimers about past investment performance on people in the U.S. You know, disclaimers like, past performance is no indication of future results, or something similar. Participants were given a choice to either invest in Fund A or Fund B, and they could see the fund's fees and its gains and losses over the prior month, but the returns were random. On average, however, Fund A was outperforming over time, and its fees were lower. Then the participants viewed the standard mutual fund disclaimer, past performance does not guarantee future results, associated with Fund B. And many chose that fund, even though it had higher fees and lower average returns. So reading the phrase, quote, does not guarantee future results, unquote, caused them to think, well, it might not be a guarantee per se, but that must mean it's just really likely. The researchers found the warning should have said, quote, some people invest based on past performance, but funds with low fees have the highest future results. Using the term some people caused the potential investors to avoid that fund because they don't want to be just some people. Now, what does this all mean for you, and how does it relate to how you're investing, and what does it mean for our investment offerings? Well, it serves as a reminder and a warning, perhaps, that accurately and consistently predicting which area of the market will lead over any given period of time is extremely difficult and probably impossible. That's why we are recommending investing in a broadly diversified portfolio with exposure to many different types of investments. And if you need help understanding what's the right portfolio for you, or how to avoid the old trap of chasing past performance, give us a call at 888-PLAN-RICK. We'd be happy to help. And in case you missed it, we hosted a virtual event called 11 Questions to Ask Before Hiring a Financial Advisor. It's designed to help you select a financial advisor that's right for you. And if you haven't seen it yet, there's still time to watch a video of the presentation. You'll go to edelmanfinancialengines.com to get the video of the full presentation and all of our advice about how to choose a financial advisor and a PDF download of the 11 questions you can take with you as you interview candidates. Well, new data shows that if you're a cash payer at a hospital instead of an insurance company, you likely paid more at the same hospital for the same service. A journal study of thousands of prices at hundreds of hospitals revealed that many charge top prices to patients who have to pay cash out of pocket compared with the prices that the insurers are negotiating. So there was an example of one patient who had an abdominal and pelvic scan at the hospital, and it cost him $6,400, which was three times the best deal negotiated by an insurance company. Well, you just may not know that hospitals often charge different customers different prices for the exact same service. And these rates, at wide pricing differences, were confidential until this past January when a new federal rule required hospitals to make those prices public. And over, it showed that cash payers are charged among the highest prices. These patients typically pay these cash prices because they're either uninsured or because some of the services may not be covered by their particular health plan. At least 44% of hospitals still haven't published data to comply with the January rule. But of those that did, on average, the fees for uninsured patients were 3.5 times the average rates paid by the Medicare Advantage plans. 888-PLAN-RICK, rickedelman.com.
These callers are pre-recorded and pre-screened. Neither Edelman Financial Engines, a division of Financial Engines Advisors, LLC, nor its affiliates offer tax or legal advice. Interested parties are strongly encouraged to seek advice from qualified tax and or legal experts regarding the best options for your particular circumstances. Investing strategies such as asset allocation, diversification, or rebalancing do not assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses. All investments have inherent risks, including loss of principal. There are no guarantees that a portfolio employing these or any other strategy will outperform a portfolio that does not engage in such strategies. Past performance does not guarantee future results. An index is a portfolio of specific securities. Common examples are the S&P, DJIA, NASDAQ, the performance of which is often used as a benchmark in judging the relative performance of certain asset classes. Indexes are unmanaged portfolios, and investors cannot invest directly in an index. Past performance does not guarantee future results.